lasers won't stop firing.
I think I'm being followed.
My dad is turning green, like, literally green.
My last nav check put me on Lagrange Point 4.
This is Control, via radio. Keep calm and remain on the guard frequency.
Greetings, Sits and Sibs. You've tuned to the guard frequency. As all good pilots know, when you're out in the deep black, you want to keep one ear on the guard. This is episode 71. It's recorded May 8th and made available for download May 12th at guardfrequency.com. I'm Jeff.
I'm Tony. And with us this week, filling in for our Brit, is our other Brit,
Lord Shiv of Tewkesbury.
Pip, pip, cheerio. Hello, Governor. What?
What do we have this week, Justin?
Well, in this week's Squawk Box, we tick another big question off the list of big questions. In CIG News, we bring you all the latest from around the UEE, including our weekly crowdfunding update, the 1.1.2 patch, 10 for the FPS producers, some interesting info from April's monthly report, and our first impressions on the Starfarer concept sale. We talk all about the Retaliator in this week's Nuggets for Nuggets, and finally, we tune into the feedback loop and let you join in on the conversation.
We've added a feature to our website, guardfrequency.com, a Patreon campaign button. We have a variety of rewards and backer levels, but essentially, if you know how Kickstarter works, you're most of the way there. Of course, we're happy to share our labor of love with you each week free of charge, but it's nice to get the occasional concrete reminder that folks out there in the verse love listening to the show as much as we love making it. We thank everybody who's already chipped in and hope you consider making a regular contribution. The more support we get, the better show we can make.
That takes care of the housekeeping, so let's get to the show and see what's coming through the Squawk Box.
Did you boys need a carrier around here?
Everything under control. Situation normal.
This is Tony saying welcome to the Squawk Box, everyone. As you all know, the Squawk Box is here to tackle the big questions. Internet freedom, defense policy, space exploration, faster than light travel. Hey, it's a podcast for space sim nerds. What do you expect? But here's one we've skipped so far. Are we alone? In fiction, Star Citizen puts first contact about 500 years from now, Star Trek about 50 years hence, and Stargate about 5,000 years ago. What do actual stargazers think about the search for E.T.? Well, a lot of them, for one reason or another, at least 18 of them that I could find, think we shouldn't be holding our breaths. Many of you are probably familiar with the Fermi paradox. Simply put, with so many billions of galaxies, each containing billions of stars, each of which could host tens of planets, all of which have been around for billions of years, where is everybody? If even one in 1,000 planets in the Milky Way were capable of sustaining life as we currently understand it, statistically speaking, we should be wading through the detritus of the rise and fall of about 1,000,000 civilizations. We currently have evidence of precisely zero. So again, where is everybody? A brand new video on YouTube does a fantastic job of explaining the nuances of the paradox and a couple of the more popular, quote, solutions to the paradox. Some of these explanations are benign. Yeah, maybe the universe just recently settled down enough for life to safely evolve. The early universe was a hot and violent place, not the best environment to safely raise a nucleotide chain. Some of them are a little depressing. Advanced civilizations face a great filter. At some point, intelligent life invents or creates technology that could cause its own demise, and every civilization in universal history has failed to clear the filter. And then, of course, by implication, so will we. And finally, there's the downright paranoid. We're either specimens in some kind of isolated galactic wildlife preserve, maybe we're NPCs in a giant computer sim, or prisoners of interstellar robotic probes designed to incinerate any intelligence deemed too advanced. We've got links to more than a dozen other possibilities in the show notes. So, you know, wow, there's a downer, huh? So much for the cantina scene in Star Wars. No more United Federation of Planets. Babylon 5? Why bother? Or maybe we can take some comfort from the words of Bill Watterson, beloved author of the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes. The surest sign that intelligent life exists elsewhere in the universe is that it has never tried to contact us.
Well...
So have you guys heard about this Fermi paradox before now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard about it. I'm a big proponent of intelligent life out there in the universe. I truly, truly believe that there exists out in the universe or the galaxies or many galaxies. I mean, the Milky Way is only one galaxy.
Right.
That there is intelligent life like us all figuring out the same stuff that we go through as a civilization and a species. As far as I know it, our galactic address, so to speak... It's like living in Siberia, far away from the rest of the populated centers of the world.
Douglas Adams called it the unfashionable arm.
Right.
It makes really good sense that why we haven't been contacted, I mean openly contacted, who knows, there might be space probes or bug probes, I don't know. You know, we are in the backwater. I mean, really, yeah. It's like going to the bayou in the Mississippi and trying to look up your lawnmower's cousin.
Yeah, we are the banjo music, yes.
Yes. Yeah. So... Yeah. So I kind of subscribe to the theory that there is life out there and that we're just waiting for the rest of the world to catch up with us.
All right, Justin, so have you heard of the Fermi paradox before? Have you given it a lot of thought?
Not a lot of thought, but I came up with a brilliant thing in just a few seconds because I'm an expert on xenobiology. If there are aliens, they're either not as advanced as us, so obviously they can't contact us,
right?
Or they're at least 2 or 3 years more advanced and they already have Star Citizen and they're too busy playing, so they're not
that
bothering to get out.
Yes,
there.
They're having too much fun in their virtual simulated spaceships. Why bother trying to build real ones to try to find us? Good point. Excellent point. Actually, I think one of the solutions that kind of combines the two of you, the universe wasn't able to sustain life for a long enough period of time for them to become advanced enough, so they couldn't be around to invent Star Citizen before now, and obviously if they can't even imagine Star Citizen, they can't get out to our address. I think that is probably the least depressing solution to the problem, is that there's been 13 billion years of the universe, but only in the last 3 or 4 billion years have things been calm enough to allow people to invent things like computers and radio and lasers and stuff like that. So let's go with that. I like that.
Well, let me add to my rant. Our planet, our little cold ball of gas and rock and all that, is relatively young. Because we are in such a distant address in space or the backwater, mm-hmm. We're relatively young. I mean, the human race, if you given the new calculations by the latest scientific minds, us as a species have only been around for 100 to 200,000 years.
Less, depending on how specific you want to get with a species.
Right.
We might only have 5 digits, yeah.
So if you go closer to the center of the galaxy, and yes, they cooled off sooner, there are probably civilizations there that have existed 5, 6, 1 million years.
Well, actually, if you go with this route, if you go with this explanation, the idea is that life in the beginning, you know, when it's just like, you know, RNA and DNA loose in a gooey soup or whatever, it's too fragile to survive the kind of radiation you'd find towards the center of the galaxy. All those superclusters and the proximity to the central black hole and all kind of stuff, the radiation and supernovas and constant whatevers that are always going on around there would break up anything that, you know, well, remotely looked like sort of life. You'd only find it out here.
I'm not so sure of two things. One is that we haven't even touched the boundaries of the science of being closer into the galaxy. I mean,
no.
That's uncharted area that we have. I mean, there might be gravitational things going on. There might be new forms of gaseous clouds that might support or protect against the radiation. I mean, we have no clue what the science is.
And according to Star Trek, there might be gaseous clouds that eat us.
Well, that's true. The other thing is that the distance to the center of the galaxy is so astronomical that to travel there would be a whole new science in itself. I mean, I can't even imagine the lifespans that it would take to get there.
It's a pretty big number, for sure. But in any event, we'll just keep waiting. Aliens, if you're out there, tony@guardfrequency.com.
And Jeff, I'm happy to, be a hostile.
You never answer your email. Don't lie. Don't
yeah,
lie.
But...
You never check that email. We send you stuff all the time, and you're like, send me that link again. No, don't lie. Aliens, don't send anything to Jeff. He didn't check that address. Have you read, seen, or heard something you think might be interesting to other citizens or civilians? Send an email to squawk@guardfrequency.com. Now let's check out some CIG news.
3175 Port Bay, hands on approach, check your screen, call the ball.
Don't get technical with me.
Our crowdfunding update for May 8th, 2015, $81,686,000, up $1.3 million from 2 weeks ago. Star Citizens now number 888,000, up about 9,000 from 2 weeks ago, and the UEE fleet has grown by 17,000 since last we spoke of these numbers. I guess the whole series, mildly popular, I suppose.
The latest Star Citizen Alpha patch has been pushed to the live server. For those playing along at home, we are now at Star Citizen Alpha 1.1.2. A lot of new things have been introduced in this patch, with the main new shiny thing being a tutorial for Arena Commander. Aside from introducing players to the controls, press shift to run, mouse 1 to fire, etc., the tutorial introduces us to the first real NPC in Star Citizen. And he's fully voice acted too! This NPC, known as Gilly, takes the player through launching from the hangar, yes, from the hangar, out into space into the dying star map. The tutorial takes a new player from basic flight through advanced combat, and takes about 20 minutes in total to run through.
Aside from the obvious benefits of the new tutorial, there's been a lot of subtle pieces of tech introduced in order to pull this off, the conversation system being a good example. The new system allows NPCs to detect a character's location and start a dialogue with them, very important piece needed for the persistent universe. Other improvements include matchmaking system getting some much needed tweaking, so now it finds the best fit rather than the first thing that comes along. Loading times have been improved, and turret gunners are now able to see weapon trails for shots fired by their pilot. Of course, all this fancy new stuff comes at a price, 20 gigs worth of download. And as always, there are some known issues. We suggest you check out the full patch notes for a complete list. The list of the key issues you might experience are... Take it away, Shiv.
Rubber banding, teleporting, client freezing, more info at HTTPS, just kidding. Links in the show notes. Characters will sometimes spawn as a pair of eyes. Client crash while exiting the game. At least it waits till you're done. Ship components and ammunition can go missing when using the holo table. Deleting the username_inventory.xml file will help fix this. Killing a cutlass will sometimes not reward kill credits on the scoreboard. Those pirates are stealing your credit, too.
Those dirty, dirty pirates. Oh, well. So I got home from work today, downloaded the patch, and I was able to get a couple of matches going. I naturally skipped the beginning tutorials and went straight to the end, the advanced combat tutorial. Because you know me, I'm, you know, already a superb expert pilot. Nearly got my butt handed to me. Number one, I was in a Gladius. I don't fly the Gladius. I stick to the Super Hornet most times because, you know, I'm old and I have slow reflexes. So the Gladius was a little crazy for me. But they have really upped the game on the Vanduul AI. The flight model is more go-karty, I guess, is the way I want to say it. I mean, it really is. You really do have to stay on your toes in order to keep the ship flying the way you want it to. And it just feels real. It's spooky. It's getting spooky. Have you guys had a chance to get in there yet?
I've still got a day and a half to go. I'm now technically narrow band.
Right, since the definition changed, yep.
Right, so, yeah, it's going to take, according to my downloader, I am now at 1 day, 9 hours, and 41 minutes.
Great, so we'll check in with you next week. Good enough. Justin, have you downloaded the patch yet?
No, but while Jeff's waiting, he can learn the difference between an aileron roll and a barrel roll.
Oh, my God.
Which is something I instantly complained about as soon as I saw a video. I posted a link to the game theorists who did their video on Star Fox about the same issue. And in the latest Around the Verse, somebody from the UK said, okay, fine, we changed it to the axial roll.
Yes, the forums and the subreddits were on fire.
Well, I would have, if I'd seen the tutorial, which I haven't yet, I probably would have been the same. I mean, I fly so many flight sims and space sims, my God.
I think it was supposed to be a joke. I think that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it was probably a reference to Star Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah, but come on.
If they said do a barrel roll, well, I think they did. I get the joke, and I like the joke, but at the same time, it's inaccurate, so what are you going
to
do?
And it is supposed to be a tutorial, and instructor pilots are notorious, how can I say this politely? Sticklers. I'm going to say that. I mean, they're notorious sticklers because they're instructor pilots, right? You got a bunch of nuggets out there that don't know what they're doing. They're going to try to kill themselves no matter what you try to tell them to keep them alive. An instructor pilot probably isn't going to be joking with his trainee when he's teaching him combat maneuvers. So,
not at all. Not any of the instructor pilots I've met.
Especially in universe hundreds of years when they don't know what Star Fox is.
Yeah. This was probably the right decision, and this is probably why the open development process is good. Let us beat the hell out of you, CIG, and you can fix this here and now before it gets out to the big wide world. So this is probably a good move.
I think the CIG needs to hire an expert at these sim games and instructor-led pilots. I can think of one person who really would like that job.
Well, I'll tell you, Jeff, once you download and play the tutorial, what you should do is come up with a list of things that they've done wrong.
Okay.
And we'll go through it in detail.
Okay.
So it takes you about 20 minutes, apparently, after it takes you a day and a half to download it. It'll probably take you 20 minutes to go through the whole thing.
Apparently, if my game survives long enough, it doesn't crash on opening.
I had a pretty good experience tonight when I got on there. I did have one kickback to lobby rejection when I tried to get in a cooperative Vandal Swarm. But then I immediately loaded into another one, and it was four random players, me and three other people, up against the Vanduul. And we had a pretty good run. I had to yank out of it to prepare for the show at about wave 9 or so, but it was pretty smooth. I think I had one or two sort of freezes like they were talking about, but the freezes were a lot shorter and they were fewer and farther between. So there's definitely a little bit of improvement in the network stuff. Good for them on getting some of those issues sorted out. But it was fun. I had a good time with it.
Chris is still in the UK with the Mocap Studios, so this week sees the release of another 10 for the producers, titled 10 for an FPS producer. In this episode, Travis Day is flying solo, answering questions from the subscribers all about the FPS module, surrounded by a plethora of Nerf guns. As always, a couple of things caught our attention. Firstly, on the initial release, Star Marine will be multiplayer only and available in an 8v8 elimination match or a 16 versus 16 saddleball match. Unlike Arena Commander, that started out as single player only.
Citizen Jeff, that's some other Geoff, not me, also asks, will we see maps that require both FPS and flight elements, where we will need to make the transition between the two before the release of the Persistent Universe? And Travis tells us that yes, before the Persistent Universe launch, we'll see maps that feature both elements, specifically Arena Commander 3.0, also known as Capture the Idris, will require both flight and FPS. Finally, Siberian K asks if they think that their server infrastructure will be ready for the inevitable explosion of players when the multiplayer-only FPS module launches, to which Travis says, keeping it short, we hope so. If anyone wants to make bets, send an email to jeff@guardfrequency.com.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, every game, it's like, you know, oh yes, we've made it extra robust and we've, you know, got extra servers online and the staff will be at their desks when we throw the switch and we're ready for anything that happens, and then all hell breaks loose.
I'd still like to get with my peers over there and review their specs so that I could give a really good informed answer to that question.
Well, we'll make that an open offer. So any CIG devs that are listening, Jeff is offering his expertise as an outsourced consultant to review your server architecture, give you the thumbs up on it. There we go. They'll make that offer. But I want to set everybody's way back machine for the day, back in the day, in the olden times, before time, the long, long ago, when the dogfighting module, when it was still called the dogfighting module, was getting rolled out. And there was this big hullabaloo about what your citizen number was and who got the super-duper early access. And first it was 500 players, and then it was 2,500 players, and then it was, I don't think, maybe they had like one other stage, like 25,000 players, and then everybody got a piece of the action. Should we be thinking about doing this again, maybe? Since network load has been a problem, maybe that's a thing they should be doing here again.
If they put on the PTU first, that would limit it, because not everyone's going to do that. And then they could give that a shot. I do remember him saying something that if it doesn't work, we'll be playing on the PTU a lot longer. It wasn't the whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the problem I have with the PTU, though, is that it is voluntary, right? So there's a certain amount of self-selection involved. And like me, most of the time, I can't be bothered. And for folks like Jeff, he literally just really probably can't do it because it's, you know, it would, you know, double or triple the bandwidth that he uses up to get that other patch in and then download it again when it goes live. So there's a certain amount of self-selection involved in it. If it was on the live server but restricted, that would be almost the reverse, right? It would be like everybody wants it, but not everybody can get it. So you would hit that cap pretty much automatically, right? Like if you wanted to test for 2,500 people, you'd probably get 2,500 people. If you wanted to test for 25,000 people, you'd probably get 25,000 people. Whereas on the PTU side, you maybe want to test for 2,500, but maybe only 1,500 have bothered to download the patch.
Well, they're just plain certain limitations that, you know, you can't push an egg through a piece of fiber. Digitally, you can. But if you imagine the whole complex universe and the network code that's going through, you still have the size of an egg that you're trying to squeeze down into, you know, the certain light beam. It's just very hard to do.
Yeah. And having to do that over and over again for large numbers of people. I think they would be able to test the way they wanted to test if they went back to the, you know, the old school way. They would get their limits. They'd be able to test the numbers that they were looking to test if they found another way besides self-selection on the PTU side.
What they should do is in reverse citizen number, because the older they are, the less likely they are to want first person because they back to be a space sim.
No, I like it. I like that logic. And actually, you may be right. You may be right, because in the very first days, it was just a Wing Commander successor, right? Star Citizen's latest monthly report has been released, bringing us all the news and tidbits from each studio in the CIG Empire. Normally, these reports contain general news that's been covered in other productions, such as Around the Verse or 10 for the Chairman. However, this month's report snuck in some nice new little tidbits. For one, this new radar type will be appearing in certain ships soon. So if you guys remember a few shows ago, I was saying that the radar was something that is showing its age. You know, it's hasn't changed much from the initial dogfighting module release, and you know, everything else is kind of looking more polished and cool. A new radar is coming. Also, the vehicle params are an important step to reduce load times and allow external system to construct information on how a vehicle could be built without the need of spawning said vehicle. So right now, and this is covered in another episode of Around the Verse, right now it's very expensive to load a hangar full of ships. And it's very expensive to load a instance full of enemies because it's loading the high-res, super-awesome, high-poly ship into the instance. But if they can spawn just the parts that need to break, then that'll be a lot easier on load times and a lot easier on everybody's machines. And finally, the last thing that caught my eye, the plan is everything in the universe will have its own unique ID, or a global entity ID, as we're calling it. Every item in every database and on every server can be accessed via its own identifier. So what they're doing, basically, is they're putting an RFID tag on every single fish, on every single boot, jacket, space gun, everything in the verse. It will be able to be tracked throughout the entire game system. That blew my mind. I mean, think about that. It's not, you know, like on every other MMO, when you buy a Class 3, you know, Sword of Doom, it's identical to every other Class 3 Sword of Doom. They just give you an item tag. Oh yeah, that guy's a Class 3 Sword of Doom. No. This is Tony's Class 3 Sword of Doom, and it's got a nick on the handle and a chip near the top where he hit it on that rock that one time. Everything in the universe is going to have its own ID tag on it, which is going to be huge for gameplay. That is the cargo rack that was yanked out of my ship when the pirates boarded it. That's the engine that I had that got shot up and rebuilt. That's the kind of thing that can happen in the verse. You know, you can have quests to go retrieve a particular item, a really, really particular item, and the game will know if you found the right one. That's absolutely huge.
Well, yeah.
I expected nothing less.
You expected nothing less than to be able to track everything in the universe?
That's right.
Well, I'm glad they're performing up to your expectations, Jeff.
Yep.
Well done, CIG. You've made Jeff happy. One other thing that caught my attention this week was a posting by Ben Kenobi Lesnick. He says, quote, "One thing folks have asked is, why don't we just schedule everything a week in advance so we know it's ready on schedule? The answer, as far as I'm concerned, is that then that isn't open development. It's public relations. And public relations is fine and important in many, many ways, but it's not the end goal for our community team. Pushing the team here to show you exactly what we're doing as we're doing it is the challenge. And planning every piece of content on a totally safe date well in advance seems like a cop-out. I hope it helps the material matter to you guys in being as engaging in the same way it does and is to us." So right there, guys, is the philosophy of CIG and why we're about to go into this info dump session here on Guard Frequency, is that these guys are letting us see the sausage get made in all of its ugliness. and seeing and telling us things like we're tagging stuff with 64-bit identifiers in the game, and we're breaking the server every time we load a new patch up. It's not because they necessarily want to look good. Apparently, Chris Roberts has well and truly let go of the whole make it beautiful before it gets out philosophy. I think if Ben's quote here is the direction that the company is going, and I think it is, this is a sort of a defining statement, I think, for the direction that CIG is taking and will be taking for the rest of the release process.
Three cheers, or four cheers, because he probably said that on the fourth, or he wouldn't be Kenobi.
Probably, yes. Yeah, Ben Kenobi Lesnick. His words are wise, and that's why I gave him the middle name I gave him.
Oh, you did that.
Okay. I did that. That was me. Okay. Yes, I christened him Ben Kenobi Lesnick. He's got the beard going on.
He does.
You know, I bet he's got a Jedi robe. I bet that guy has a Jedi robe in his wardrobe somewhere. Who wants to take that bet? Does anybody want to bet against me?
Nope. I've seen his collection of nerd on Instagram, so.
Yeah. Jeff, you going to take that bet?
No, he wears a Traveler necklace, so I'm not going to bet against
him. Yeah, so Jedi robe isn't easy.
Well, that's from Traveler, the role-playing game?
No.
Oh.
Okay,
no,
sorry.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I don't know if that makes you sound more nerdy or less nerdy.
This is tough. This is Chris Roberts specific.
Okay. I haven't played all the games yet.
Yeah, you would have had to see the Wing Commander movie to know what this is.
That's back on Netflix, so now's the time to watch that in all its glory.
All right, so this is the part of the show where we go off script because CIG just made a huge info dump while we were recording the show. They have updated the Starfarer concept sale and put that back on the sales block. And they've released their huge first-person shooter, Star Marine, post. Not the patch yet, but the announcement of the announcement, as Lennon was saying last week. So, guys, let's start with the Starfarer. What's your initial thoughts on the concept sale?
It's a gas.
God, you stole my line.
Yes!
I like the ship. I really do. I'm kind of curious how it will play in gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to find out if it meets the module specifications for the transferring of modules or module system that they're going to have. I can see that being a guard frequency staple ship, especially the Gemini series with the extra armor and hotter turrets going into a zone, you know, rescuing people and putting them in med bays and whatnot. So yeah, I see a lot of possibilities for that. That's one I would consider earning in the game.
And what's the most basic in-flight emergency? Low fuel. Someone miscalculated or they had to make a course correction they didn't anticipate. I mean, yep. That's the most basic in-flight emergency. I do not have enough fuel to get where I need to go.
Yep.
So guard frequency is probably going to need a Starfarer. I was tempted for a couple reasons. Number one, just the way that it is so functional. I mean, if you just take a look at the refueling probe, it looks real to me. It looks like a thing that works, and I think that is a huge advantage feature. I don't know what it is over of this universe is that, you know, someone sat down at a computer and drew out and calculated how this thing is going to move space gas from the space truck to the thirsty spaceship, and this is the pipe that's going to do it. That seems real to me. And if we get more information on the fuel mechanic, we'll know just how important that length, that chunk of pipe is. And it's just a simple piece of pipe, but that's going to make or break missions, that little piece of pipe. That's the sort of thing that makes the universe come alive for me and really feel real.
I wonder if you'll be able to pick up gas where there's a lot of gas.
Yeah.
And take it to a space station where there isn't and sell the gas.
Well, you think of the Hull E, for example. You know, they got to refuel somehow. Now, I suspect on the more advanced planets, there'll be actual, kind of like we have freighter dock, you know, the shipyards that we have in ports. They'll dock in some type of orbital structure and they'll get their refueling. But on the more outward planets where they don't have those structures available, then these will be ferrying fuel at probably at a higher cost.
Yeah. And yes, Shiv, the Starfarer comes with a fuel scoop that can be swapped out with a missile pod. So if you're going someplace where you only need a certain amount of fuel, like, say, you know, an emergency gas run, you know, it's just got a Cutlass stranded out here, he's out of gas, so you don't need a fuel scoop because you know just how much you need to bring. But if it's, you know, like Jeff's saying, like long-term operations or if it's your business, you can scoop fuel at a gas giant and then refuel long-haul ships in orbit and then go back down and tank up again. then go back and forth. There's an onboard refinery on the Starfarer that'll let you do that.
Nice.
Yeah, I see this as being a couple of these in our inventory, so to speak.
The sale goes through May 18th, I believe, so get them while it's hot. By the time this recording drops, you'll still have a few days to get one. $195 for the basic module, and then $240 for the upgraded military version that Jeff was talking about, the Gemini. So depending on your needs, buy appropriately.
And if you want, you can send one to Jeff at guardfrequency.com.
That's right, everybody. All email this week goes to Jeff. From alien civilizations all the way to Starfarer gifts, any one of them. Also this week, we saw the FPS post also hit just recently, and it was huge. It was very long. One of the things that was buried in the very bottom of it, which is foremost on Jeff's mind, is patch sizes and the patching process, thanks to Jeff's terrible internet connection. And there's good news on this front, Jeff. Apparently, with the release of Star Marine, they will be able to optimize their patching process a little better. So it won't be quite the huge project every single time you want to download a new Star Citizen version. So good news is coming for you on that front, sir.
Well, as our loyal listeners know, through our discussions and our Squawk Box, internet's been reclassified, and It's not that my connection is terrible. I mean, technically, it's 7 meg DSL. But technically, it's really 720 kilobits per second. So it's not really a bad connection. It's just, it is slow. I mean, by a lot of city dweller standards and even my own work, well, my work, I've got 300 and something odd megabit connection. So yeah, it's super fast.
A little different.
Yeah. You know, I'm hoping that the next 5 years will change that for a lot of us in the rural areas that, you know, have good solid connections, but we just need something better.
Well, that's huge in this industry because, I mean, when's the last time any of us went to the store and bought a game on a disc?
I don't. I buy Uplay, Origin, Steam. It's all digital now. Even GOG. I mean, oh God, I love GOG.
What did you say?
GOG. Good old games.
No, I thought you said a naughty word there.
No. Good old games. You can find some games you haven't even played in a long, long, long time.
It's all digital for you.
Yeah, it's all digital for me. And yeah, it takes me a couple days to get my game. But, you know, and also I'm patient. I mean, I've had to be.
What about you, Justin?
Last time I bought a hard copy?
A disc, yes.
Half-Life 2.
Wow.
And I waited till midnight at Walmart, was behind the lady who's having check problems while she's trying to buy a super important Clay Aiken CD. Not that important. I finally got it, went home, played it, found out I could have had it downloaded on Steam because that was when pre-ordering started to become a thing. I didn't know. But I was able to play it while my friend was trying to get me to find some way because his wasn't properly unlocking. That was the last time, so that was obviously because we don't have Half-Life 3 yet. Forever ago, Valve, now, at least do episode 3. I think you made a terrible ending of episode 2, so fix it.
I think probably you'll be seeing the Persistent Universe before you see Half-Life 3.
That's
pretty
true.
Sure.
I'll see.
That's a bet I would make.
Duke Nukem even more forever before I see Half-Life 3. Except I never played that.
I'm casting about my living room and my bookshelves and my drawer. You're probably hearing me as I turn my face away from the microphone, and I'm pretty sure that the last physical copy of a game that I bought was Lego Star Wars for the PC. I got it for me and my son to play on a laptop when we were on a trip. So I think that might have been the last physical disc that I bought. So yeah, if companies like CIG are going to be doing these high-fidelity, super-realistic sims, and even games that aren't as realistic as CIG, you know, they might have to start thinking about their customers' bandwidth needs in an earlier stage of the development if they intend to be a solely digital distribution. It could be a thing that happens in the near future, especially if the net neutrality stuff still doesn't stick.
Maybe they'll be able to put it on a SSD and deliver it via drone.
Yeah, that'll be great.
That's what I was thinking of them doing was, you know, put it on a 32 gig flash drive and send it to me. The mail would get here faster than some of my downloads. I keep all my games. I don't know why, but I was casting about. My bookcase is behind me and around me, and here's one, Earth and Beyond.
I don't even know what that is.
Now it's time for News We Didn't Use. Around the Verse, episode 43, featuring a whole lot of puns.
Bug Smashers, episode 1, is Mark Abent's solo career about to take off?
Terra Gazette, for a famine. Once people see what's going on, how could they not stand up and help?
Meet the CIG Devs, episode 24, with John Schimmel, CIG's head of linear development. You watch Bug Smashers?
I did not.
I meant to, but I didn't. I will get to it.
I like the segment. I do like the segment. I just didn't have time to get to it.
He's at least entertaining, even if sometimes I'm not paying attention to what he's talking about because it's above me, but he's at least entertaining. I was watching some other Star Citizen videos, and I was hoping to figure out what people were thinking, and maybe where the f*** is the first-person shooter module?
Well, we've had the post. So we now know it's coming, which of course we already knew that, but it's coming pretty soon, which of course we already knew that too. But we do know that it is going to be full of Katy Perry dancing Marines.
Yes. Wait, what?
Yes. No, it's a thing. I saw it on Around the Verse.
Was that so, a Katy Perry
Katy
song?
Perry dancing Marines. No, but you know who needs the first person shooter module? Because we have Hyper Vanguard Force.
That's right. I mean, oh baby, yeah.
You know, if Star Citizen is a successor to Wing Commander, this game is a successor to Galaga, right? I mean, clearly. This is a game that I will be pumping quarters into for hours to come.
I wish I'd make a little mini client so I could just carry it with me on a stick or some kind. I just plug it in whenever I'm bored or even put an app on my phone and just play it. It'd be just like awesome.
It's a flash game. Seriously, just go on their website and just bang, it's up. I can't run it on my iPhone, but
yeah,
I bet I could load it up on my tablet.
About to harass iPhone users, but
go ahead and harass the iPhone. It's fine. Yes, I can't play Hyper Vanguard Force on my iPhone. I'm gonna live. Somehow I'm gonna live.
What have you been playing aside from Hyper Vanguard Force?
I don't know, Shiv. What have you been playing recently? Jeff, have you been playing any games recently besides?
Oh
Hyper
yeah,
Vanguard Force?
Yeah. I have to admit
Us?
That. Yeah.
You
know, Elite Dangerous.
It's gotten bad.
Yeah.
It's gotten pretty bad.
Got it bad.
Yeah.
Well,
it's gotten
I wasn't
bad.
Playing Elite Dangerous, but then somebody who will only be known as Trackballs gave me a copy of Elite Dangerous, and I flew around a bit, died a few times, not knowing what I was doing. But then that's the Guard Frequency crew and Pariahs and Elliot. Well, we got together and blew up some bad guys, and now I have money and haven't had the time to spend it yet, but someday.
Yeah, well, it's pretty
it's a sweet addiction.
It is. It's gotten as you dig into it a little bit. Lennon's description of it being a mile wide and about a foot deep. I'm coming around to that and pretty much going to adopt that. But I still have several miles of wide to discover in the game.
It's a pretty deep foot.
It's a foot and a half. Easily 18 inches. Easily, foot and a half. But there's a lot of ground to cover, and it will be updated soon as well. So it's still in its development. It is an excellent thing to tide me over until Star Citizen gets fully on its feet. But I will tell you that the flight model in Elite is caveman simple compared to jumping over to Star Citizen. It's just, you know, the skill factor in piloting a ship in Elite just is minimal compared to getting a Star Citizen ship to do the things you want it to do.
I've been trying to get my HOTUS set up so that they are very similar in both games so that I can swap back and forth easily without having to remember what all the buttons do.
Yeah. Well, and that was a problem for me too when I jumped into the tutorial tonight. Yeah, I've got my keyboard and stuff sort of figured out for Elite and how I want to do the roll and the pitch and the yaw and the strafing, all that kind of stuff. Well, and then I had that figured out in Star Citizen, but of course with the new patch, it wiped out my preference changes. So I'm like trying to remember the default controls, and of course I skipped the beginning tutorial that would remind me what all the default controls were because I'm that way. I just skip right to the end.
Yeah, I've been trying to get my throttle to do forward and back instead of just forward.
That's not a thing in Star Citizen. That's only a thing in Elite. So we here at Guard Frequency have put our stamp of approval on Elite Dangerous as Star Citizen Lite, and it's a lot of fun. We've got a Google chat group going. Send a message to us at squawk@guardfrequency.com if you want to hop in our Google group, and we'll get you fixed up to friend you in game, all that kind of thing. So it's good practice. It's good fun, but we're not abandoning our true love, our first love.
Our first love. And it's a good, you know, for you space sim fanatics like I am, it's a good dose.
Solid
a good
title.
Fix for whatever joneses you, because you can explore, the graphics are pretty good, especially when you come in on a sun.
It's a pretty game.
It will keep you going until Star Citizen is more persistent.
And that brings us this week's community question. Give us your hot read on the 1.12 update. A step in the right direction, or are we out in the deep woods again? Send an email to squawk@guardfrequency.com or post on our show thread over at robertspaceindustries.com.
Now that we're all caught up on the latest news from around the verse, let's go check in at Retalicon for this week's Nuggets for Nuggets.
You have all flown before, but you're about to enter a whole new world, so pay attention.
That means get on your feet, Nuggets!
After the Dolphin play Biscuit, that saw the Stanton Super Hornets take the title with 4-3. And finally, on the EBC News at 10, we bring you our live coverage of the Retaliator Fan Convention with our on-site correspondent, Smooth Furnace. Smooth?
Thanks, Brack. Smooth Furnace coming to you live from Priority Alpha Convention Center with a preview of what you can see when you come to Retalicon. Wow, it's incredibly busy here. There are tables covered with modded ship parts for sale, or kits to do the mods yourselves, authors, artists, and plenty of other vendors. Excuse me, sir, what do you have here?
I've got Retaliator parts.
Did you mod them yourself?
Oh, yeah. You see, I really love the Retaliator, but there was just something about the engines. I knew I could eke out a little more power. So I created this tool, which you just pull this along right here, and that aligns, and it realigns the manifolds right here. I've gained 0.00341% better thruster output. I'm selling the tools right here.
Are you getting many buyers?
Not too many, but just getting started. I tried to sell it to Aegis, but they said it would take retooling their old equipment. It wasn't worth the cost of the increase.
Well, good luck with the private market. Here's a banner you might not expect to see. It says firefighting. Now, excuse me, sir, what's all this about?
Yeah, we run Retaliators as firefighting ships. It started out on Low in the Coral System. When Sunny's ship shop had a pipe leak, water was flooding the ship lot. Then that big ship collision happened, you know, the one in the news a while back?
That's right, I covered the New Junction crash site myself.
Well, Sonny saw the fires, and he was already working on modifying one of the tallies to clean it up, and he had just one of those moments. He got in, sucked up the water, flew over, and helped out at the fires. It's been much more refined over time. And we're on a panel later today about how the new version works, where we can put out capital ship fires from space. You should come by and check it out.
Order your tickets now for Retalicon. Well, would you look at that? Wait, is she dressed up as an Idris?
Okay, buddy, what's on your mind?
We're all friendlies! So let's just be friendly!
Some say he's wanted in 13 systems and that he shot even earlier. But all we know is he's called the Shiv and he'll put together this week's feedback. So our community question last week, Colin's show. Good idea, bad idea, whose idea was it, and that person should be fired immediately? Well, let's take a census.
Sean Newboy says, wonderful show, everyone. Nice to hear from the listeners.
Lyrium says, awesome show, guys. First problems was funny as hell. No, he wasn't.
Banned for life. Small Cap says, another great episode, liking the guest speakers very much. Would love to participate where I can, so please let me know if I can do a guest appearance sometime. Smiley face.
The Con Artist, that show was great. It definitely should be done again. I meant to come up with and send in a question and would love another chance. It sounds like everyone agrees we should give another chance.
Well, Con Artist and Small Caps and not first problems. We'll be doing it again. It was a lot of fun for us, too. Glad everybody enjoyed it. Seemed to get a pretty good response, both on social media and direct feeds and listener comments. So, yeah, we'll definitely do it again.
But next time we're feeling lazy. Security will be very, 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 very tight.
Yes, security will be beefed up. And we a stern talking to will be given to our call screener, also known as our community manager, about letting the riffraff.
I can't confirm nor deny having any knowledge of what happened there.
I have a hard time believing that he
I do
that
too.
He snuck past you. I just have a difficult time believing that Frank Verster Patterson conned his way past your keen senses.
Well, you noticed that Saladin said you're going to have a special guest later, so even you knew it was coming.
Yeah, well, we had this sense that something was coming, but you know this.
It wasn't winter.
It was not winter. No, it was first problem. So yeah, we'll definitely be doing another show like that sometime in the next couple months. It maybe comes semi regular because we had an easy time doing that kind of show for one thing, and it was a lot of fun. So definitely look forward to doing that again.
VT Kigger sent in, I've been lurking quietly in the shadows and have an update for you all on the Constellation Phoenix that Perfect Blinky and I were putting together in Space Engineers. We finally released it, but I must warn you, if you try and open it in the game, it will work your computer pretty hard. Kind of ironic since Star Citizen itself works my computer pretty hard. There'll be a link to the pictures in the show notes.
Yes, the Space Engineers version of the Star Citizen ships was an early Squawk Box segment, I think. Something from the way distant past. But yeah, the pictures are looking pretty cool. Now, unfortunately, BT Kager, the Connie is getting an upgrade, as we know from the ship shape segment in Around the Verse this week. So you're going to have to go back and put in all the new awesomeness that CIG is putting into the Connie now. And I, as a Connie owner, I am thoroughly looking forward to getting the new version of my hangar because OMG, they are.
I told you, you threatened, didn't you threaten to melt down your Connie for?
I did. I thought about it. I'm glad I stayed my hand because the more I see it, I'm going to bring a lead in again. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm going to do it again. I've got a multi-role ship, the Imperial Clipper. And I really feel at home in that thing because I can make it do anything I want. If I kit it out one way, it does one thing. If I kit it out another way, it does another. The Connie is looking more and more and feeling more and more like the ultimate multi-role ship. I am more happy and more comfortable with the purchase of the Connie now than I have been at any point since I parted ways with my $275 back in 2013. So, yay, Lisa Ohanian. Keep up the good work with the ship shape segment. And keep showing us pretty, 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 pretty pictures of my beautiful, beautiful constellation. Julian from Star Signal says, how do I get on the show as a guest, huh? Why hasn't this happened? No, he hasn't asked until just now. Unless you, Shiv, call screener guy, have been screening his call.
No, if he'd have been there, I would let him on.
Okay, well, see, there you go. Next time, you got to wait till we have the call-in show. Or you got to email us at squawk@guardfrequency.com and say, I have this brilliant thing I must tell you about, and I'm not going to tell you unless you send me donuts or you let me on air. And then, of course, we'll probably choose the donuts. But we might not. We might let you on air. I don't know. It would depend on how good the donuts are, really.
Do I have to read this?
Yes, you do. Because it was true.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just like feeding a stray cat.
I know. He won't go away. I know. But we are here, Jeff, as purveyors and guardians and distributors of the truth.
I know.
And this is
a thing
that happened.
Okay.
This happened.
And from Twitter, mostly just lots of people encouraging First Verse with praises and how funny it was.
I mean, seriously, Twitter lit up with how hilarious he was about this. And I'm going to cop to a certain amount of encouraging the guy, like with the your wingman's so stupid jokes and all kind of stuff. And I very nearly jumped in with this week's Twitter abomination, you know you're a shipster when, a parody of the Jeff Foxworthy, you know you're a
yes,
redneck
yes,
when. I almost did it, but because, as Jeff is pointing out, it's like feeding a stray cat, I restrained myself this week. I did not encourage him, but he's not going to go
did.
Away. We got to stop Shiv. I mean, it's already far too late, but I mean, we don't have to have a fat, stray, First Verse problems cat hanging around. We could have like a skinny one. Like a lithe stray cat that hangs around.
So, new patrons this week. Thanks, Asmal Man and Dryazu.
Well done, Jeff. Well done.
And this week's winner of Guard Frequency Swag, courtesy of random.org, is Dryazu. Winner, right off the bat. Stickers, eventually.
And this week's community question, give us your hot read on the 1.1.2 update. A step in the right direction, or are we out in the deep woods again? Send an email to squawk@guardfrequency.com or post on our show thread over at robertspaceindustries.com. So, how was the show? Did we stay dry all night long, or do we need a moisture-sensing klaxon in our jammies? Either way, let us know. Here are some ways you can get in touch with us. Check out our forum post at forums.robertspaceindustries.com.
Leave a comment on this episode's show notes at guardfrequency.com, and you can subscribe at feeds.guardfrequency.com or find us on iTunes.
You can hit us up on Twitter at GuardFreak or leave a comment and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/GuardFreak.
And if you're old school like us, shoot an email to squawk@guardfrequency.com. Your feedback is an important part of what we do, so take a minute. Tell us what's on your mind.
And that brings us to the end of episode 71 of Guard Frequency. We'll be back with episode 72 on May 19th, so be sure to keep an eye out for our shows over at guardfrequency.com or the official Robert Space Industries fan site subform.
Please send us your feedback about the show. Aside from all the ways we just ran down, you can also use the contact form on our website. And all the details for all the ways you can get in touch with us will be in the show notes.
Do you like what we do? Want to come help us make the best damn space sim podcast ever? Well, if so, just send a note to squawk@guardfrequency.com. And if you just can't get enough spaceship podcasting, why not check out our sister production, Priority One? They cover Star Trek Online and the greater Star Trek universe. Just go to PriorityOnePodcast.com. And we want to say congratulations and many happy returns to Elijah, the host of Priority One, who just recently announced his impending retirement as host of Priority One. He's going to stay on as producer of the show, but he's going to hand the hosting reins over to somebody else. So congratulations on a long and fruitful run, Elijah. Well done, sir. We look forward to your continued Cuban overlordship of the show, even if you're not going to be on the air.
Are you looking for a friendly wingman or two? Check out our organization, Guard Frequency Response, at the official RSI website, robertspaceindustries.com/org/guardfreak. And if you're not doing anything Friday nights, then you should join us live over at guardfrequency.com/live. We start recording at our new time at around 11 p.m. Central. That's Saturdays at 5 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time.
We'd like to thank the entire team at Guard Frequency and the Priority One Network. Thanks to our community manager and our guest host, Justin Chivalry Bean Lowmaster, our artist, Simon Charlton Edwards, and our audio engineer, Michael Duncan. Thanks to our syndication partner, The Bass, and special thanks to Ronald Jenkins for permission to use his music in our show. Visit ronaldjenkins.com for more of his work. But above all, we especially want to thank you folks for tuning in. If no one's listening out there, the deep black gets pretty lonely.
Reduce thrust. 10-2330, Carol 15. Squawk 7700. Stay on the guard.
Lord Shiv of Tewksbury.
Hip hip, cheerio. Hello, Governor. What? Happy Mother's Day a few weeks ago, because
okay,
I'm British.
That's it. That's enough. You've firmly established both your limited knowledge of Britishisms and the fact that you're not British at all.
But I did know they already celebrate Mother's Day.
That I did not know.
Well, the more you know.
But it's probably going to get cut.
Yeah, probably.
But good. Another reason to listen to the live stream, though.
True. Donate today.
What do we have this week, Justin?
Dry throat, apparently.
Of course, we're happy to share our labor of love with
labor of love.
Lennon, can I get a sound effect of a really nasty cat meow or something in here somewhere?
Did we stay dry all night long, or do we need a moisture sensing klaxon in our jammies? Either way, let us know. Here are some ways you can get in touch with us. Check out our forum post at forums.robertspaceindustries.com.
What is a moisture sensing klaxon? Oh my god!
This is written by a guy with young children in his household. Am I right, Shiv?
Yeah, have one.
Did you like how he went right through it like it was nothing? Did you like that? That was for you. See, for everyone in the live stream at home, Shiv writes the nugget segment, right? And he writes this thing, and he's got this idea and stuff. And as grand poobah or whatever the show, it doesn't work for me editorially, and so I fiddle with it, right? I mess with it, I screw with it, I make him do stuff over again. I really sort of beat him up over it as payment, as payback, as sort of recompense for my pickiness. If he's going to write these little jokes here on the how is the show bit, I'm doing it. It just copy as read. So you put as many diaper jokes as you want there, Shiv. I'm gonna run right through them.
Oh, man. Oh no, I was trying not to laugh. Anyways,
I was holding it back too. I just couldn't. Moisture sensing klaxon. Oh my god.
Well, you guys get it out of your system. You get it out of your system.
Yeah, there's an episode of a podcast called Whiz Waffle about one of those.
Whiz Waffle.
Yeah. Okay.
Do I need to make good radio? Jeff, get the girl from Ipanema song okay. going here until Shiv could collect himself. We'll make good radio here for a little bit. There we go.
Okay, I think I got it.
.com.
Jeff, did we lose you?
What? You're talking in my ear.
Jeff?
Were you trying to tell me something?
This is not good because he has the recording of Girl from Ipanema. So we can't make good radio without him. Jeff?
User in your channel timed out.
Oh,
channel
dear.
Is timed out.
That's not good. We'll give him a second here. We'll make some good radio for a little bit because he, again, you know, we were just discussing his connection quality just earlier in the show. So we'll give him a couple minutes here. He usually comes right back when he has this problem. So we'll give him a second.
Send your spare bandwidth to Jeff at guardfrequency.com.
Yes, exactly. All part of the fun of the live show. I really ought to have a tambourine for these moments.
I have a jaw harp.
You have a what?
You know the jaw harp? I don't know where it is.
Oh, is that like that the thing that the jug bands play?
Yeah.
Oh my god, you're actually getting it. You do live in Portland. If anyone had any question whether or not you actually lived in the Portland area, now there would be undeniable proof.
That must not be in here, so.
Oh, what a disappointment. Okay, so maybe the question still remains. Does he actually live in Portland? Because without that crazy instrument,
I did bring Voodoo sure. Donuts.
You did bring
physical proof.
Did I? You know what? Actually, I was in the Las Vegas airport a couple weeks ago, and a woman walked by and sat down right next to me with the trademark pink box of the Voodoo Donuts. And I said to her, "You're just from Portland, aren't you?" And she said, she looked at me like I was psychic. And I was like, "Nope, I'm not psychic. It's just your pink box." And she looked at me and she laughed. So I knew she was cool. And she looked at me and she laughed. So I knew she was Hitler.